Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's just an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. And I'm just so thankful to be able to share. I absolutely love your pastors, Pastor Marty and Patty. They're great people. They've been encouraging my father and our church for many years, but they've been a personal encouragement to me. Many cups of coffee. Your church has financially supported me as a missionary for many years. They support BASIC. They've encouraged us. It's just a real blessing. And I was trying to think of something nice to say, and I'll just be honest. You know, I had a really busy week, and so I didn't think about it until I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, God, I wish I would have thought of something. And I feel like God spoke to me, and he said, literally the message I'm speaking on, Pastor Marty is an example of what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about being great. And when I think of a great man, I think of someone like Pastor Marty and Patty and Pastor Ryan. And I felt like, man, really what I'm going to share about tonight, I mean that you guys have great pastors and great leaders from the bottom of their hearts, that they do work, they work hard, but they love you. And it's an honor to share the pulpit and just to share on a Thursday night in a church with such great people. So thank you guys so much for giving me that honor. And I love you guys. And they've been truly have been a blessing. I'm not just saying that. Your pastors have blessed me for many years, and I'm just so thankful to be here. But I'm going to share tonight, it's called The Greatest Challenge, is what I'm going to talk about tonight. And in sports, we constantly argue, like, who's the greatest of all time, right? In basketball, there's this debate, like, is it Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant? And now you may even throw in LeBron James. But we constantly argue, who's the greatest of all time, right? In football, it's like, who's the greatest, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning? I think Tom Brady has kind of sealed that, the greatest quarterback of all time, right? People will spend hours and hours and hours debating who is the best player, who's the best franchise, who's the best coach, but usually there's no way of really ever actually proving it beyond a shadow of a doubt because they live at different times, they can't play each other anymore. But it's not just with sports, right? It's everywhere in life. We're constantly wanting the greatest. We're arguing what's the greatest, right? I mean, I read books on greatness, right? I read Good to Great, Great by Choice. You know, I want to be great. You know, we argue my hometown is better than your hometown. My mama's cooking is better than your cooking. You know, my iPhone is better than your Android, right? We do it with food, comparing Tim Hortons versus Dunkin' Donuts or Moe's versus Chipotle, you know. We do it with music. You know, I use Pandora. Well, I use Spotify. I use Snapchat. Well, I use Instagram. Like, what's better? You know, we're constantly arguing. We do it all the time. And we're waiting and talking about the latest, the greatest, the best thing we could get, whether it's technology, fashion, or even some crazy cool food that we all want to try first. But believe it or not, yeah, food, all right. But believe it or not, we'll go to the next one. Believe it or not, even Jesus talked about greatness, right? Even Jesus talked about greatness. In Matthew 11:11, it says this, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. Jesus called John the Baptist great and compared him to people in heaven. Jesus talked about greatness. Look at this next verse in Matthew 22. It says this, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then listen, he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus told us, hey, there's good things you could do, there's bad things you could do, and there's great things you could do. Jesus talked about greatness. Not just Jesus talked about greatness. The disciples talked about greatness. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 9, it says this, after they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you guys discussing out on the road? But they didn't want to answer because they had been arguing about which of them was what? The greatest, right? This is kind of showing the ugly side of greatness, the competitiveness, the comparing. But it still teaches us a lesson. It shows us that we need to know what greatness is and how to pursue it the right way so it doesn't tear us apart, but it builds us up, right? I want to learn to be great. I want to pursue greatness, right? So I can use it to change others, to change the world, to make a difference. I don't want greatness to consume me. I want my greatness to help other people. This next verse in Matthew 18:1, it says this. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples had questions about greatness. When they asked, that Jesus didn't get mad at them. Jesus didn't say, how dare you talk about wanting to be great? You know what Jesus did? He taught them. He helped them to understand the power of greatness. Not only that, John the Baptist talks about greatness. Look at this verse in Matthew 3:11. It says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy to even be his slave and carry his sandals. Lastly, God himself talks about greatness. Joshua 14:14. That day the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. And for the rest of his life, they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. Let me tell you something. God can make each of us, God can make you into a great man, into a great woman, into a great student, into a great athlete, into a great father, into a great husband, into a great wife. God wants to make you great. Greatness is good, it's not bad, and it's part of God's plan. Look at this last verse, Genesis 12:2. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. Now listen to this last part. It's very important. It says, and you will be a blessing to others. God has a great and unique plan for each of you. He wants you to be great, but it's not so you could feed your ego. It's not so you could brag. It's not so you could get 10,000 Instagram followers. He wants to make you great so we could be a blessing to others. He wants us to be great and to excel at what we do and to be excellent wherever you are at life so we could be a blessing to others. Don't miss what I'm saying here tonight. Don't sit there acting like a grouch because you think I'm going to share some self-help seminar, because that's not what I'm talking about, okay? What I'm talking about tonight is becoming the very men and women God has created us to become so we can make a difference in this world, make a difference in this community, and make a difference in your home and in your neighborhood and with your families. God has called you to be great so you could bless people and so you could change people and so you could help people. I don't believe wanting to be great is a bad thing. I would argue with you that I think wanting to be great is a biblical thing and is a great thing, because God just doesn't want you to survive. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to be great, to have great honesty and great integrity. We are called to be great so we could be a blessing to others. We are called to be great so we could be a blessing to others. I mean, do you think you'll win your friends to Christ by being a bum, right? By always mooching off of them, by always being late, right? Always having excuses. You think your coworkers will listen to you about Jesus and want to come to church if you're the office grouch, right? If you're always complaining about the boss, if you're always frustrated what's happening, do you think they'll listen to you? Or do you think there's a better chance that they'll listen to you if you're hardworking, if you're kind, if you're compassionate, if you're slow to get angry, if you're quick to forgive? Do you think there's a better opportunity for their heart to be opened to hear what you have to say? We're called to be great as Christians. We must be a blessing to others. Don't think God just blesses you just so you could be blessed. Don't think God's just blessing you to make your life better. God is blessing you so you have a unique opportunity to bless other people. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to be great. I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm not going to lie about it. I want to be great so I could bless as many people as possible. I don't need compliments. I don't need awards. I don't need credit. I don't need applause, right? I don't need anything back in return, because I'm not trying to build my ego. I'm trying to build God's kingdom, right? We don't need to build egos. We need to build God's kingdom. That's why we need to learn about greatness. So I'm going to give you some practical advice about greatness. And really three simple things. But before I do that, I actually just want to share with you what greatness is not, okay? Because I think a lot of times we don't understand it and it confuses us. And so I got a bunch of things I'm just going to throw at you and let you, some of these are going to hit you really good. But what greatness is not? The first one is this: greatness is not inherited. Greatness is not inherited. That means you cannot inherit or be born into greatness, right? You can be born high and you could still live low. But let me tell you something. You could be born low, and you could still live high. It's not inherited. You can't say, listen, you don't know who my parents were. You don't know what my parents have done to me. Listen, the good news is for you, it's not inherited. It doesn't come that way. No matter where you started, you could still be great. You have an opportunity for greatness regardless of what your past is, regardless of what your yesterday is. Your tomorrow can still be great because greatness is not inherited. The next one, greatness is not based upon your income. But don't most of us equate greatness to income, right? We just assume the more money they have, the greater they are. But the truth is there's a lot of wealthy people and they're not great, right? That just shows you how kind of messed up our priorities are as a society. We just assume money equals greatness. That's not true. But some other people take the other extreme, right? They think, well, if you're poor, you're great. But let me tell you something. Mother Teresa wasn't great because she was poor. She was great because of what she did. She wasn't great because of what she had. She was great because of who she was. And greatness is not based upon your income. Greatness is not talent. Greatness is not talent. Talent does not equal greatness. Some people are good at doing, but they're not good at being. Right? They know how to do things, but they're not good at being. We can do something great, but it doesn't mean you're great. There are a ton of athletes in the world. They're very talented. They're very talented, but it doesn't mean they're great. Your level of talent doesn't have to affect your level of greatness. I just want to share that somebody here, listen, you may think, oh, I'm not talented. I don't have much to offer. Let me tell you something. That doesn't even have to affect how great you are because greatness is not just your talent. There's way more to it than that. Greatness is not popularity. Some of these famous people have millions and millions of followers on Instagram and Twitter, but it doesn't mean they're great. Let me tell you something. Never sacrifice greatness for popularity. Some of you people are going to be put in facing decisions and put in situations where you may have to sacrifice being great for popularity. Never do it. It's never worth it. Sometimes being great may cause you to lose popularity because greatness doesn't need to promote itself. It just does what it does. And I tell you, you just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And eventually the right people find out. Eventually promotion finds you. Greatness is not popularity. Greatness is not cheap. Greatness will cost you something. It'll cost you, not somebody else. It won't cost your parents. It won't cost your neighbor. It won't cost your boss. It'll cost you something. Greatness costs you time. It costs you energy, it costs you emotions, it costs you resources. It requires you to go the extra mile to do what others won't. But that's why not everybody's great, because the price is too high for some people. Greatness is not cheap. Greatness is not immediate. In other words, it takes time to develop. You can't just go to church one Sunday. You can't just read your Bible once. You can't just pray for 5 minutes and think you're great. No, greatness takes time. When you begin to play sports, it takes time to become great. I remember years ago, I was living with my parents, and my nephew also lived with us, and he was a lot younger than I, and he was like in middle school, and they all had to pick an instrument. And so he picked the trumpet to play. And he started to learn to play the trumpet. Do you think he was great from day one? No. It was really squeaky sounding, right? It was really, really squeaky. Listen, when you want to become great, some of you are going to have to go through a squeaky phase. It's going to be a little awkward. It may sound a little bad. It may not be as comfortable, but it takes time to develop. And it's the people who don't quit when it takes too long that become great. Greatness takes time. It's not immediate. Greatness is not common. Greatness is not something you see every day. Greatness will make you stick out of a crowd. Greatness will make people not agree with you, will make people question what you do. And the reason is because it's so uncommon, they're not used to seeing what greatness is. Greatness is not common. Lastly, greatness is not living below your potential. It's not living below your potential. That means greatness is different for every one of you. Greatness is living at your full potential. Listen, you can look wherever you want, and you could always find somebody who's more messed up than you. And you could look somewhere else and find somebody who's more put together than you. But that's not the point. Stop comparing yourself to other people. And greatness is living at the full potential that God has created you to live at. That's greatness. All right? That's what greatness is not. I just shared with you those things. Thank you. But I want to share with you three simple tips, three things. In fact, if you're not taking notes, I'm just going to encourage you, just write down on your phone somewhere three simple things that you could literally implement tonight that will help you become great. You follow these three things, and I guarantee you, you look at Pastor Marty, Pastor Ryan's lives, I guarantee you they do these three things to help you to become great. Number one is this: give in to the process. Give in to the process. A great person gives themselves to the process, but a wannabe is obsessed with promotion. You know what I mean by wannabe? Someone who's like trying to put a show on and acting like it, but they're a fake, you know, a phony. A great person gives into the process, but a wannabe is obsessed with promotion. Do you know I've never asked for a promotion in my whole life? I've never been concerned about it. Wherever I was, whatever I did, I just did the best I could do because I was there. I never was concerned about this or about that. I just did the best I could. And wouldn't you notice it? Wouldn't you be surprised that wherever I went, I would eventually get promoted? I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't asking for it. I was just doing what I was supposed to do, and promotion would find me. Not because I'm special, but because I learned to give in to the process. Another thing is when others get promoted, I celebrate their promotion. Even if it's something I wanted, I learn to celebrate them. How you celebrate someone else's victory determines your readiness for yours. How you celebrate someone else's victory determines your readiness for yours. How you celebrate your best friend getting married when you wanted to get married. How you celebrate your best friend or someone you know getting that promotion, even if you don't think they deserve the promotion that you wanted. How you learn to celebrate other people's victories determines the readiness for yours. In fact, it's a great test to see if you're submitting yourself to the process. If you could learn to celebrate others' victories, it means you're submitting to the process. Wannabes, they only want promotion. They only are concerned about promotion. They don't care about learning. They don't care about how this phase of life is shaping them and molding them, right? They are so obsessed with promotion that they miss out on all the shaping, molding, and developing that's going on in their lives at this stage in their life. And because of that, they never become all that they could be. And I don't want you to ever confuse credit with confirmation. Don't confuse credit with confirmation. If you're sitting there and you're kind of getting annoyed with wherever you're at in life because you don't get any credit, don't let that discourage you that God hasn't called you to where you're at. If God's given you confirmation and called you, you don't need credit. Stop waiting. Credit is great and it's encouraging, but don't confuse credit with confirmation. Elijah, he wasn't at a ministry fair when Elijah found him. When Elijah the prophet found the person to take over his ministry, Elijah, do you know what Elijah was doing? He was plowing in the field. He was putting in work. Elijah was working. He was submitting to the process. He was plowing. And let me tell you something. If you do a good enough job plowing, God will promote you. If you could do a good enough job plowing the field and just submitting to the process and just doing what God's called you to do, you don't have to search for promotion. You don't have to post it on Instagram that you're doing good. You don't have to brag to anybody. You just keep doing what God's called you to do. You just keep working hard right where God has you. And I'm telling you, promotion and greatness will find you. Someone once said, you have to cut the gem to see if it shines. And that's what the process does, man. It cuts you. It molds you, it shapes you, and sometimes it's tough to be cut, sometimes it's tough to be beat up, sometimes it's tough to learn new things and have to break things off. But listen, once we learn to do that and we learn to submit to the process, only then can you shine. I wonder if that's why Jesus picked Peter to run the church. Because you know what Peter was doing when Jesus found him? Peter was cleaning the nets. He didn't catch any fish. He didn't even do good at his job, but he was still working hard. Who knows how talented of a fisherman he was, because he didn't catch any fish, but he was doing the work. Jesus saw him submitting to the process. Jesus saw him doing what God has called him to do, and then Jesus promoted him, and Jesus found him. Stop being so worried about this person and that person, and do what God's called you to do. Work hard right where God has called you to work. Listen, be the mother God's called you to be. Be the father God's called you to be, and I'm telling you, things are going to change. Things are going to pick up. Keep doing. Submit to the process. Give in to the process, and that's what God's called you to do, and God's going to make you a great person. Last thing on this point. Stop believing the lie that once you're promoted, then you'll shine. Stop. This is big for young people too. Stop believing the lie that, oh, once I graduate, then I'll work hard. Once my mom lets me do that. No. Stop. That's a lie. Listen, you don't need to have authority to take responsibility. Stop waiting for people to give you authority. If you take more responsibility, God will give you more authority. If you take more responsibility, I believe God will give you more authority. You don't need authority to have responsibility, right? For instance, you see something you don't like, don't complain about it. Don't bash it, fix it. You see someone who needs help, help them. You don't know how to help them? Let me tell you something. Read a book. Watch a YouTube video. Google it. I'm telling you, learn something. You could help people. You could change things. You don't need authority to take responsibility. You don't need your authority to clean your room, to get up early, to help someone out, to feed someone, to be nice to someone. You could just take responsibility. Listen, stop believing the lie that you need authority to shine. Just start doing it now, wherever you're at, wherever God has you. And I promise you, you will shine. Sometimes you got to cut the gem to see it shine. Number one, give in to the process. Number two is this: do the work. Do the work. A great person produces, a wannabe projects. I'll explain that. A great person produces, a wannabe projects. Work hard. Whatever is given to you, just work hard. If you get something small, don't complain that it's small. Work so hard that it becomes big. If you get something insignificant, don't complain that it's insignificant. Work so hard that it becomes significant. Don't be a wannabe always talking about, well, that one time I did something. I remember that one time I was patient. You know, wasn't I patient once, you know? I helped my mom out one time. You know, don't project, you know. Well, someday, you know, I'll get around to it. Eventually, when this person changes and then I'll do that, you know. Don't project. Don't be a wannabe. Stop saying things like that. The test of a truly great person isn't how talented they are. It's how hard they're willing to work. It's not how talented you are. How hard are you willing to work? Stephen Furtick, he has this formula. I love it. It's gift times grind equals victory. Gift times grind equals victory. Means like your giftings, your talents, times the grind, put the grind in how hard you're willing to work, equals the size of your victory. That means hard work can multiply your giftings. You may not be as talented as someone else, but it doesn't mean you can't have as big a victory as them. You just need to work harder. Stop complaining about everything you don't have. Stop giving excuses as to why others can and you can't. You don't have this. You don't have that. If God's called you to preach, he's called me to preach. So you know what? I'm going to preach like God's called me to preach. I don't need to prove anything. I'm just going to let God move. Listen, if God's called you to serve, serve like you got nothing to prove and let God move. Sweep like God's called you to sweep and let God move. Just do what God's called you to do. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to show anybody up. You don't have to be as talented as someone else. You could just work harder and harder, and that'll multiply your victory. A few weeks ago, I was listening to a great, 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 great preacher preach. And he was preaching just like I wanted to preach. And he was doing what I felt called to do in my heart. And all of a sudden, something hit me. I'm listening to him preach, and something hit me. And it's like, man, I'm not as smart as that guy. I don't know theology as good as that guy. And I'm not even as good as a preacher as that guy. How am I going to do what that guy is doing? And God reminded me of the story of the talents in the Bible. There's a story where this master is leaving out of town, and he gives one servant 5 talents. He gives another servant 2 talents, and he gives another servant 1 talent. The servant with the one talent is so scared he's going to lose it that he buries it and does nothing with it. The servants with the two talents and with the five talents, they work hard. And when the master comes back, they've doubled what the master gave them. And I was thinking about that story. And I thought, man, I may not be a five-talent preacher, but God's given me something. I may only have two talents, but let me tell you something. You come back next year and you hear me preach again, watch my two talents turn to four and see what God does to me because I'm going to be working hard. You come back in a couple years, watch my four turn to eight because I'm going to be working so hard it's going to multiply what I have. Listen, I don't need to have the talents as everybody else because I can still work just as hard. I can work harder. Gift times grind equals victory. And we need to stop complaining about what we don't have and start thanking God for what we do have because you can start to work hard right where you're at. And God's going to strengthen you, and he's going to multiply your victory. Gift times grind equals victory. I'm going to work hard right where I'm at and do what God's called me to do and not have to worry about the rest. Number one, give into the process. Number two, do the work. And number three is this, be coachable. Be coachable. A great person is coachable, but a wannabe, they're always right. A great person is coachable, but a wannabe is always right. You know, it still amazes me that some of the best athletes in the world, they have coaches. Isn't that amazing? You take Roger Federer, for example. He is by far the best tennis player ever in the history of the world. I mean, right now he just won another championship. I mean, it's really hard to argue that Roger Federer isn't the best. If not, he's one of the best ever. Do you know he still has a coach? He's the best. There's nobody in this earth that's better than Roger Federer at tennis, yet he has a coach and he listens to him. I mean, how this coach can't do what Roger Federer could do. This coach is not as good as them. He never was as good as them. Roger could do everything this coach could do and better. But yet, Roger Federer still listens to his coach. Isn't that amazing? You know why he has a coach? Because great people view correction as an investment. But a wannabe will make you pay when you correct them. A great person views correction as an investment. But a wannabe, they make you pay when you correct them. You ever try to connect a wannabe, right? They get mad at you. You try to help them and they get mad and they feel insulted. They give you excuses, you know? You try to help them become better and they're giving you excuse after excuse. Well, no one ever told me that. Well, my alarm didn't go off. It's not my fault. Well, you know, I just don't have enough money. Well, this person said they were going to do this and they give you excuse after excuse. But a great person, listen to this. If you want to become great, I'm asking you, just trust me for a minute. Just listen to this. A great person can receive correction because they know it's a long-term investment into them. They can receive when somebody corrects them because they know it's an investment. A compliment may feel better, but correction is a true gift. A compliment, of course, I'd rather be complimented. It feels better. But correction is a true gift. Proverbs says this, a fool despises instruction. If you're a know-it-all, someone who's always arguing, who's always doesn't need any help, you'll never be great. It's just a fact. You learn lessons in two ways in life, by mentors and mistakes. If you're a know-it-all, you're going to have to make a lot of mistakes. But sometimes you have a good mentor, and you listen to their correction. Man, they could help save you from a lot of mistakes. They could help move you along in life a lot quicker than if you had to do it on your own. You have to be able to receive correction. If someone tells you that you're not doing things right, you need to have a good attitude and listen. I'd rather have someone pat me on the back then tell me what I did wrong. But the truth is, we don't need fake compliments. We need honest correction. We need honest correction. So many times in life, my dad has corrected me, has helped me. I remember when I first started getting involved in the church, and I first started speaking and sharing. Many times I would get up there, and my dad after would be like, oh, you did a great job, but let me just help you with this. Let me, you know what, I didn't get mad. I'm like, Dad, you don't know what you're doing. You're too old. You don't know. I was listening to him. You know, my dad said, Jonathan, I heard somebody transition at church. I got it on CD. Would you listen to him? At that time, I was just doing the announcements. That's what I did. I love doing the announcements. Do you know how many times I would just do the announcements at church? Not preach. I would just do the announcements, and I would just transition after worship. And do you know how many times people would walk up to me and say, wow, what a good service today. I'm like, oh, yeah, it was good. They're like, we love what you said. I'm like, no, I didn't preach. My dad doesn't know. We love what you said because I loved it. My dad gave me the CD. Listen to how this person transitions. I would listen to CD 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I would just keep listening and listening to learn to get better. Why? Because I knew my dad was investing in me. He wasn't beating me up. He wasn't making fun of me. He wasn't telling me I was no good. He said, no, I see something special in you, so it's worth my time to correct you. See, so many times when we get corrected, we get so defensive, and we're insecure, and we let our insecurities ruin our lives, and we think, oh, this person thinks I'm nothing. No, it's the complete opposite. When someone's correcting you, when they're like actually care for you and they correct you, it's because they see potential in you. If someone didn't see potential in you, they probably wouldn't even correct you. But when somebody corrects you, they see something special. They say, I know God has his hand on your life, and I want to help you out. Correction is a long-term investment. Some of the greatest athletes and the greatest people in the world listen to correction. They're coachable. And that's why they're great, is because they view it as a long-term investment. Listening to correction and then walking away, rolling your eyes, mumbling under your breath is not receiving correction. Do you know how many people are struggling in life right now because they didn't have anybody to correct them? Because they didn't have a dad? Because they didn't have a family? Because they didn't have a pastor? Because they didn't have a teacher or a coach to correct them? Do you know how many people are struggling and they're in prison and they have messed up lives because they wouldn't listen to correction? I mean, do you know how lucky you are if you're complaining about somebody always correcting you and helping you out? A lot of people don't even have that, and they're struggling in life. And yet we give people in our lives a hard time for correcting us, for investing in us. Listen, if you have a dad, a mom, a coach, a pastor, a teacher, a mentor who's correcting you, stop giving them a hard time. Just listen to them. Many times in my life, do you know what I have to do? I'm going to be honest with you. When I get correction, I need to just shut up. Because I got responses for people. I got things I could say to people. All right? I could be sarcastic. I could be funny. I could be mean, whatever. And sometimes I just shut up. I tell them, just shut up. And you know what? 99.999999% of the time, after I take a few minutes to listen to it, I realize, oh, they were right. Oh, yeah, maybe they had something they were saying. But we're so quick to respond. The saying is, what? Even the fish wouldn't get caught if he kept his mouth shut. Sometimes just keep your mouth shut and listen and smile and say thank you. You'll be amazed at what you learn. No matter where you're at in life, I'm challenging you right now to be great. I'm challenging you right now to become the man, to become the woman that God has created you to be. I'm not wanting you to compare yourself to someone else. I want you to live up to your potential. That's greatness. Not just so you could be happy. Not just so you could have whatever you want to have. It's so you could be a blessing to others. I'm telling you, God wants to raise up great men and women, great families, great churches, so we could bless people, so we could help people, so we could make a difference in this world. When you leave this place and you're trying to run the race that God has set before you, and life gets tough, don't run from the process. Run to the process. Submit to the process. Maybe there's just a couple things God's cutting away from you so you could shine like a diamond. It's during the process where we begin to let go of sin and things that slow us down. Do the work that's in front of you. Wherever you're at right now, I don't know your situation, but I do know if you're there right now, you should work hard. You should do the work where you're at. And most importantly, the greatest piece of advice that I could give you tonight is to be coachable. It's something I'm constantly learning every single day, how to be more coachable, how to listen to people, how to stop getting offended and mad at people when they correct me. We need to learn to be coachable. And I declare today that God will make each of you into a great man, into a great woman, into a great mom, a great dad, a great worker. God will make you into the person he's created you to be. But we have to allow God to do his work in our lives. We can't run from it and think we could do it on our own. We need to learn to do it. Let me just end in prayer, and then I'm done today. I'm just going to pray for you. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for your grace. Your grace that gives us strength to endure. Lord, I thank you for your grace that we don't deserve it, but you give it to us, that we're saved by grace. And Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness, that I can mess up every single day. You still forgive me. And Lord, I just ask right now that who's ever dealing with unforgiveness or feeling like they're not good enough, Lord, I just ask you would just comfort them, you'd give them peace, and you'd forgive them. And Lord, I just pray for the grace and strength in our lives right now, for me too, that I would learn to give into the process, that I would do the work, and that it'd be coachable. I just pray you would raise up people in our lives to be mentors to us, and that we would listen to them. Lord, help us be slow to speak and quick to listen, that you'll raise up great people so we could be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.